We even have a couple strangers. Oh, we're all strangers. We're all aliens. So anyway, but would you welcome Woody Woodson?
Thank you very much. Hallelujah. You're loving Jesus tonight. I'll tell you something. I'm so in love with him. And if someone drank out of this, I know it's anointed. So we're going to have fun tonight. I always have fun. And God's setting everything in order. How many of you know that? You know, he was speaking to me back, you know, just how he's bringing to naught the schemes of men. Come on. We're in a new season. I want you to go to Isaiah 43. I'm going to have some fun tonight. I always do when I preach the word. I love God. And Lord, we just thank you tonight. And Holy Spirit, we're asking you to teach us. Because if you don't open our eyes, we're not going to see what we need to see. And Lord, if they hear my voice, they're not going to hear much. But if they hear your voice, it's going to put them over the top. So Lord, we're asking for ears to hear what you're saying, what the Spirit is saying to the church, and eyes to see what you're doing in our midst so we can cooperate. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about breakthrough all week. Thank you. I need a bottle. I used to say that years ago for a different reason, but but we've been talking about breakthrough all week, and I'm going to go a little different direction, even though the angels of God are here. But Isaiah 43, I want you to look at this. Verse 15 says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. So here we see the prophet Isaiah talking about how God split the Red Sea. Come on. And I love this. But the next statement is really interesting to me because the prophet just shared that, and the next statement says, now forget it. Come on. Now forget it. You know, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of the past. Behold, I'll do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So what God was basically saying is many times the thing that keeps us from recognizing the new thing is the old thing. Come on now. And God says, don't remember what I did. Just remember who did it. Because the same God who did a new thing back then, that was a new thing, is going to do a new thing now. Come on. And see, in the new thing back in Moses' day, the problem was the water, so he split it. In the new thing he's doing in this thing, the problem is lack of water, so he creates it. Come on now. But it's the same God. See, many times we begin to embrace what God does instead of the God who does it. And because of that, we don't recognize, because we understand his hand, but we don't understand his face. So we're caught in what he did instead of what he's doing. And God's trying to make us current. Come on. Does this make sense? See, I believe that without a shadow of doubt, God is doing a new thing. And I think the only way to stay current with God is what we got into earlier in the week when we talked about the Lord of the breakthrough in 1 Chronicles 14:8. David faced a situation, and it says he inquired of the Lord. That's the key to everything. The key to everything is not to lean on your own understanding. Come on. not to lean on your past experience. See, there are times in my own life I have literally tried to do what worked before and doesn't work now. And that's because, you know, instead of the reason it worked before is I inquired of God, and that's what he showed me. The only reason it didn't work now is because I didn't inquire of God. I just took for granted that's what he's going to do again. Come on. Does this make sense? So I believe tonight, what I want to talk about is breakthrough through prayer. Because honestly, if your prayer life is not current, you have no power. See, you know, if we're going to light up a city, we're going to have to be plugged into a power source. And literally, you know, most things in America run on electricity, so you there's a current. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? Also, there's the power source of financing the thing. And that's currency. Come on. So literally, God wants us to stay current with him. Because he's always the God of the now. Now faith is. Now faith is. See, religion is old. It's based on traditions of men. But, you know, Christianity is a relationship. Come on. So we live by every word that God is speaking that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Does this make sense? See, I found out revelation always precedes manifestation. And revelation is received through prayer. I remember years ago, Brother Copeland made that statement. Is that he made a statement that every failure in life is a prayer failure. Every success in life is a prayer success. Because if you honestly believe, God's already done it. And it's already yours by inheritance. Then, you know, most of the church is trying to get God to answer prayer, and that's wrong. Because he already answered it 2,000 years ago. Every prayer you had ever prayed in the will of God has already, the answer has already been provided, and it's yes. Come on. Every prayer. Isaiah 65:24 says, before you called, I answered. While you're speaking, I hear. So the question is not getting God to answer prayer. The question is getting God to hear our prayer. Because in 1 John 5:14 says, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if he hears you, you know you got it. Come on. So literally everything goes down to realizing the answer is always yes when it's the will of God. And that's why he gave us the word. It's his will. So literally, and what God will do is he'll breathe on certain promises because it's time to see his will done. So, you know, there are times in my life where, you know, I want to go over here, but he's breathing over here. Now, if I go over here, I'm not being led by the Spirit into the will of God. And things aren't working, even though it's his will, his overall will, it's not his on-time will. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? So God's trying to get us in step with the Spirit of God, and I'll preach on that on Wednesday night because it's very important that we be in step. But Jeremiah 33:3 says this. It says, call unto me, I'm going to show you great and mighty things that you know not. And I believe right now God is going to show us. We're in a revelation season. Understand that. One of the things you have to do almost is forget everything you know and begin to recognize who you know. Come on. Because what we know many times was what God showed us for the last season. Now, he'll take the same principles, but he'll make them current. Come on. And he'll add something to it, and without the additive, it doesn't work in this season. Come on. So he's trying to build stuff on it. Because if he didn't do that, we would never know, we would never need God. I said this before, if you can figure out God, you got the wrong God, because you're not that bright. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? And see, what I found out is when revelation comes from heaven, nothing can stop the revelation you receive on earth. Nothing. Gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Man can't stop it. When flesh, it didn't come from flesh and blood, but from your Father which is in heaven. There is nothing. You become unstoppable. The problem with the church is we've operated out of education, not revelation. So we have operated out of our head and not our heart. Come on now. And we're not that good in our head. You know, the world can operate out of their head. But only the church can operate in revelation knowledge. Come on now. That's the God advantage that we have. And you know, the enemy can stop what comes out of our head. But he can never stop what God put in our heart. Come on. Because if he could, none of us would be saved. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? So we need to begin to understand that. Let me show you again how this works. I think, you know, years ago when I was a youth pastor in Tulsa, I had just come out of New York City, and that one summer we saw 300 youth saved. In a small church. It was a small church, but we had a youth revival, major youth revival. So next thing you know, I'm a youth pastor in Tulsa. I started off with 5 kids in the New York thing. I started off with 5 kids in Tulsa. And I did the exact same thing I did in New York. The exact same thing. Exact same way of approaching it. And what worked in New York did not work in Tulsa. No results. I remember I was so frustrated. In fact, I remember just, you know, getting alone with God finally. Instead of just taking him for granted. I said, Lord, what's up? That's why I talk to him sometimes. What's up? You know, I'm frustrated, Lord. I want results. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, where do you think fish live? Because I'm a fisher of men. Well, I grew up with a yacht. And we had a fish locator on the yacht. So literally, we would go over, and if you got over a school of fish, especially things like flounder, you could pull in 100 in an hour. I mean, you didn't even have to bait the hook. They almost jumped in the fish by themselves and the boat by themselves. So it was the neatest thing. So when God told me, I said, hey, yeah, I guess that's right. And I said, well, they live in schools. I said, you get over a school. He said, then get the schools. That's where all the fish are. Well, you know, most of the fish, they're required to go to school. There wasn't a whole lot of homeschooling back then, so they were required to be in school. So I told my pastor that. I heard that was revelation. I knew. He said, start a Bible study in every high school in Tulsa. But I told my pastor, and I told him, I said, I know it's illegal, but God didn't know that when he told me. You know, I said, I know that we may have to fight this in court. And I said, before you tell me no, I just want to give you a little something to pray about. If you tell me no, I'm going to submit to you because you're my spiritual head. But the blood on every student of every high school in Tulsa is going to be on your hands, not mine, because you're saying no to what God's saying. Now, just pray about it, Pastor. So he came in the next day and says, it's okay. Now, I remember going in that situation because 5 high schools were fine with me. They had no problems. 1 high school had a little bit of a problem because he looked at me, and it was an all-black school, and the principal was black, and he said, you're white. I said, I didn't know that. I said, God didn't know that when he told me. I better call my parents. And like I said, you know, I still remember the conversation because I still don't know what honky means. I'm almost afraid to look it up. But he said, they're not going to listen to some white honky preacher. Well, I thought he was saying white hunky. Because back in those days, I was a hunk, baby. Hey! Then became a white chunky preacher, and now I've lost some of the chunk, you know? Not quite a hunk, not quite a chunk. I'm kind of in between. Truth. So, you know, they gave me a room, and in that particular high school, we had a revival that broke out where they actually shut down the school for 3 days. They had a required assembly for 3 days, and all we talked about was what Jesus was doing on the campus, on a public high school. That was wild. But the one I remember the most was I walk into this principal's office at Edison High School, and the principal looks at me and says, as long as I'm principal here, you will never have a Bible study. I looked at him. I said, was I asking for your permission? He said, what? He said, I'm the authority here. I said, well, I think I heard from God that makes me the authority here. Which got me even more upset. He said, as long as I'm principal, I already heard his speech. And his secretary went to our church, and she knows me, so she's hiding under the desk. And I looked at him, I said, listen, buddy, by that time we were in a buddy stage. It began with sir, but now it's buddy. Hey, listen, buddy. I said, I don't know if you're going to be fired, retire, or expire before next week. Because if you don't change your mind, you're going to be out of there because God said. So we're going to have it. I'll be back. I scared him so bad. He gave me a room. And by the time the year was over, he comes up to me and he said, all our bad kids are no longer bad. Well, they all ended up in my Bible study. And he said, do you know any musicians? We can't have an assembly where you preach it. He said, this isn't like Booker T. Washington. No, you already heard about that one. But he said, we're not supposed to do that. But do you know any musicians? Now, I'm going to tell you something. This started with a prayer. Everything starts with a prayer. And this was still a continuation. This was 6 months later, but God's still working on that prayer. Come on. He's watching over his word to perform it. And 2 days after he said, do you know a Christian musician? I said, well, I'll come up with someone. He said, well, have a required assembly. They can't preach, but they can preach through their music. This guy's not even saved yet. 2 days after he tells me that, this guy walks into my office, and it's Keith Green. And Keith Green was a huge Christian artist back then. Huge. Very, very, he was the now thing. And he walks into my office, and he says, I know you. Well, I said, I know who you are, but I've never met you. He said, I know you. I said, but I never met you. He said, God visited me for over an hour and talked to me about you. And he told me that whatever you need me to do, I'll do for you. You need me to give a concert, I'll fly in from Texas, no charge. Whatever you need me to do. I said, really? Now, you understand, 2 days earlier, I had the principal tell me, do you know a Christian musician? So I said, do you want to do a required assembly at a public school? And I said, since you just put out your No Compromise album, why don't you just sing the entire album as the assembly? He said, really? How did you do that? I said, I didn't. God did. He said, really? He said, yeah. I'll never forget because, you know, a week later, we're in Edison High School. He begins to sing. By the second song, everyone's on their face, weeping. By the end of the thing, the principal gets up and said, we can't give an altar call on campus. But the bell's about ready to ring. And there's an open field across the street. And I can't stop you from going across the open field. And these men, I'm sure, would be willing to talk to you about what you just experienced today. And when the bell rang, 785 people, staff and students, including the principal, walked across the street to the open field where we sat and led them in a prayer to receive Christ. Why? Because of prayer. Prayer opens doors. Prayer opens heaven. Prayer brings God's will on earth as it is. God wanted all those kids to be saved, but he needed someone bold enough. Come on. And he needs us to be bold in our prayer life. Does this make sense? See, stupid is not an excuse. I don't know how many times people say, I don't know how to, as though that puts them off the hook. God tells them to do something. I don't know how to. Well, the Bible says if anyone lacks wisdom, come on. James chapter 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. Come on. And let him not doubt, but believe the moment he prays, he's going to do it. Now, let me tell you something. You may believe you receive it, but that doesn't mean that's the moment you hear. Sometimes, how many of you prayed prayers and then months later, God answers it? Or he tells you what to do. But until then, you're still like, but you got to keep your faith out there. You know, let me show you again how this works, because God, we're about ready to come into a season of downloads for an upgrade. Come on. Downloads from heaven for an upgrade on earth. My son and I, we do this thing called extreme rides. Not kind of extreme rides. Hey, do you know that there's a roller coaster that goes 169 miles an hour? And that you actually have to wear goggles because you blow your eyeballs out? Don't ask me how I know that. Do you know that there are roller coasters that go extreme, you know, extreme things where they go upside down and the carts rotate? I've been in them all, baby. Because I told my son a few years ago, about 10 years ago, if you ride it, I'll ride it. You should never say that when you're 40 years older than the person you're saying that to. Come on. So I have tested that. And I'll never forget one of the biggest tests we have is a water ride that has been featured in the most dangerous rides in the world. Is you stand on a trap door. It's a tube. And it's several hundred feet straight down the tube. And it opens up. And trust me, if you don't know how to pray before, you learn. And I went first, which was really stupid. And I remember the door opened and my whole life flashed before me. And I wanted to say Jesus because I needed his help. So I said, Gee! I couldn't even get the sus out. Gee! But he knew what the rest of his name was. So I hit the water and I was fine. Well, my son goes after me. Now, he tells me this. He said, Daddy, he told me that before. He said, Daddy, we're working on a project at work, and we've been stuck. He said, well, you know, we just don't know what to do. It's the biggest thing that this company's ever done. And so the door opens. He goes down. He hits the water. And instead of, you know, I didn't hear him even scream like a baby like me. He hits the water. I go over to see if he's okay. He gets up and he starts running. So I'm running after him. But when you get to be my age, you run on the inside. Come on now. Not necessarily on the outside, but you're still really super quick on the inside. Yeah. So by the time I caught him, he's at a locker taking out his iPhone, and he's just, I said, what are you doing? He said, Daddy, God gave me an algorithm. He gave me the answer. I said, when? He said, between the time the drawer opened and I hit the water. I had my whole life flash before my eyes. He has a download of an algorithm. And that algorithm produced $1.7 billion worth of sales. It loosed everything. But you know why? Because he asked for wisdom. Many of us, we're stuck because our prayer life is stuck. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want to unstick you tonight because the breakthrough begins in prayer. Come on. It begins by inquiring of God. It begins by understanding there's areas of your life that are not fruitful, but they need to be. It's like when Hannah wanted a son so badly, and she went to the temple to pray. She had been barren for several years, and the clock was ticking. She was desperate. And she went to the temple in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and began to pray and cry out. And Eli saw her moving her lips. He didn't see what she was doing other than moving the lips. And he thought she was drunk. You read it. And he came up to her and said, "Why are you drinking? It's the middle of the day." And she said, "I'm not drunk. I am pouring out my soul before God." She knew where to take her problems to. And Eli said, "Well, but what do you want?" He said, "Well, I want a child. I want a son." He said, "By this time next year, you'll have your boy." But she gave birth more to than just a boy. She gave birth to the voice of God. Because the Bible said the word of the Lord in 1 Samuel 3:1 was rare in those days. That's why she gave birth to Samuel. He became a prophet. And not one of his words fell to the ground. So, you know, I start thinking about John the Baptist's parents, same situation, barren and advanced in age. But when they went to the temple and God spoke, now God had to shut the old man's mouth because he would have messed it up with unbelief until his wife had the baby. But what did he give birth to? The voice. You know what God told me? We're coming into a place where our prayers are going to give birth to the voice. Do you hear what I'm saying? That we have got to have a prayer breakthrough so that we can give birth to the voice of God fresh. Come on. The voice of God. Voice crying in the wilderness that prepares the way. Come on. Does this make sense? God's going to make rivers in the wilderness, but how is he going to do it? By the voice. Come on. Does this make sense? This is so good. It is so good. See, how many of you understand the enemy's after your confidence? Because if he gets your confidence, he gets your reward. And one of the reasons I found out is people aren't praying like they used to pray because they're not expecting like they used to expect. You can make prayer a religious thing instead of a relationship. You can actually feel like you're doing your duty by talking to God, but never expecting him to talk back. Come on. You know, God doesn't want us to have faith in prayer. He wants us to pray in faith. Religious people have faith in prayer. But that's all they do is it's needless repetitions. But the early disciples, when they saw Jesus, it amazes me because we read the Bible from our viewpoint, not from a Jewish viewpoint, not from their culture. And when the disciples came to Jesus, they didn't say, "Teach us to preach. Teach us to do miracles." They say in Luke 11:1, "Teach us to pray." Now, that one went over my head for years. I said, "Of course." Because they watched Jesus. He was like no one they ever saw. But you know, when Jesus prayed, storm stopped. When Jesus prayed, the deaf heard. When Jesus prayed, the blind saw. When Jesus prayed, dead were raised. When Jesus prayed, food was multiplied. When Jesus was under persecution, he prayed. when Jesus hung on the cross, he prayed. It just seemed like he was constantly praying. And they were watching result after result after result after result. And he was the most impressive man they had ever been around. See, I read the Gospels and I think of the miracles recorded in the Gospels. And they're impressive. But I began to study Scripture and realized the last verse in the Gospel of John was the reason they told him to do that. Because it says if all the miracles Jesus did were recorded in all the books that had ever been written, there wouldn't be enough volumes to contain them. Which meant they watched Jesus miracle, 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 miracle. It was nonstop miracle. When he was walking, it was nonstop. And it's not, it wasn't just that what was recorded. It was nonstop for 3 years. You know, they had trouble probably sleeping at night just thinking of all. Wow. Whoa. You know. I mean, I love my son's church because the young people, anytime the pastor says anything that has some revelation, wow, you actually hear the wow come right out, you know? And I began to recognize when they said that, when they said teach us to pray, you got to understand these people were raised in religious homes. So they were already praying 3 hours a day. The moment they could talk, they were taught to pray. So they weren't saying, Jesus, teach us to pray. They're saying, Jesus, teach us to pray the way you pray. And this is what the Spirit of God spoke to me, is Jesus has taught you to pray to get you to this level. Now you need to ask him to teach you to pray to get to the next level. Because if you think you know how to pray, you're going to miss the next level. Come on. Is that okay? It's strong stuff when you think about it. See, the only way we can do the things Jesus did, and he said you're going to do what I did and even greater works in John 14:12, the next verse says pray. The next verse. Jesus said, you're not going to do this without a prayer life. You're not going to be able to do this unless you learn how to pray like I pray. You can't do what I do unless you pray like I pray. And I didn't pray like I prayed because I was God. I prayed like I prayed because I was a man. Come on. It wasn't because of his divinity or we couldn't pray like he prayed. Come on. So this makes sense. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead came upon us. See, prayer is the means by which we bring heaven to earth. But have we ever considered becoming students of prayer? We study everything else. I honestly believe the art of intercession, that there is a thing the Spirit wants to teach us in these days that literally is going to cause us to do things like no other generation. Come on. I believe it has been reserved for us. And see, we need to understand prayer is not a thing you do as much as a place you go. Because true prayer is one-on-one at the throne. That's true prayer. You come to the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy. So it's not just a thing you do, it's a place you go. See, true prayer is done in the spirit. It's not done in the flesh. True prayer literally connects you with heaven so you can bring heaven to earth. So this makes sense. See, it's the place where God's glory is found. It's the private place. It's where secrets are revealed. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to pray for you tonight before it's over because I believe God wants to put a fresh prayer mantle on every one of us. You know, Every church I've been to that is really in revival has birthed things in prayer in a special place of prayer. They taught Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 5. It says, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. See, Jesus was not saying it's wrong to pray publicly or we'd all be hypocrites, at least all ministers I know. But he says it's wrong to do something different publicly than you do privately. Several years ago, and I won't mention the station, I was hosting a Christian TV program on a major network. And we had prayer requests coming in. And I'll never forget that day because at the end of the program, they had a huge response, and I'm praying over all the requests that came in. And as soon as the program was over, I'm still praying. Because I wasn't praying because of the program. And I'll never forget, because the counselors came out of their places where they counsel, and they began to weep. And I said, why are you doing that? They said, you're the first host we've ever had that didn't stop praying the moment the camera was turned off. That's what Jesus was talking about. I told him, I said, I wasn't praying for the camera. See, you know, we gotta make this thing real. You hear what I'm saying? You know, a prayer should be the most important thing you do. And it shouldn't just be an extended period. It's walking with God. That's all it is. Talking all day long. Now, there are times you have an extended periods of prayer. A lot of times it's just along the way. Does this make sense? But he said, when you pray, didn't say if you pray, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who's in secret, and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who's in secret will reward you openly. And this is, when it says close the door, go into your room, actually the word room there, in the Hebrew culture, they understood what that was. It was the storehouse. It was understood that that room was where everything was. Everything they needed was in that room. And that, if you don't understand this when you pray, that everything you need is in the presence of God. Everything you need, every single need they'll ever have is in the storehouse. Come on now. So you go in and you shut the door and you get one-on-one and you're doing kingdom transactions. Come on. It's amazing stuff. And it says, when you're praying, don't use meaningless repetition. What does it mean? It's just, don't try to impress God. How many of you can get in a performance trap? So easy. Recently, I was going in to meet with a pastor, and they've had all the major people that I respect at the church recently. And they called me in. I happened to be in the area. He wanted to meet with me. I've always wanted to meet with him because their church is exploding. But I'll never forget the pressure I felt. I was going to meet with this very, very, very successful pastor. But I'm also going to travel that day. And I went. I put my nicest suit on. I did everything. And the Spirit of God said, what are you doing? This is what the Lord told me. He said, if you try to impress him, I can't open the door. He said, just be you. So I took off my suit, put back on my jeans, just to say, I'm just going to relax. just be myself. And I thought, man, I felt bad when I walked in it because it was such a nice facility. I thought, oh, boy. So I walked in. The pastor wasn't there yet. Everyone was dressed kind of nice, and I'm thinking, I'm in trouble. But as soon as the door opens, and here comes the pastor in with his, he comes in with a running outfit on. And I just went, whew. And we began to talk, and the Lord told me, he said, don't tell him all the things you've done. Just talk my word with him. And we never discuss a whole lot of anything other than the word of God after the end. He looked at me, he said, you'll do. He said, you fit here. You know, I wouldn't have fit had I been somebody else. And the problem is that every time we try to be someone else, we don't fit. You just have to be you. You have to be the best you can be, but you have to be you. And that's what God said. Don't come in here trying to impress me. I already know you. You can't fake it with me. Just be real. And he said, just open your mouth and let off. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to show you things to come. These are things that you have not because you ask not. So ask big. And don't ask what you don't desire. I've learned that. I used to pray for, well, Lord, I need this. I need. And many times I'd ask him on the low end for something I didn't really want because I didn't want him to be upset with me. So that when he answered the prayer, I wasn't even real happy. I didn't want it to begin with. Come on. Don't you like it when God actually gives you good stuff? And I think he could give us a lot better stuff if we get real with what our desires are. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Come on. If you abide in me and your word abides, my word abides in you, which means you won't ask stupid. But sometimes God wants to stretch us in our asking. Does this make sense? I want you to begin to see something. I want you to see everything's done in prayer. Everything's done in prayer. And it says, don't use it. You know, they're not heard by that by their many words. Sometimes the best prayer is help. That's not a lot, but it works. Sometimes the best prayer is, gee! He said, don't be like them, for your Father knows. He says, pray in this way. Our Father, which is art in heaven, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Everything goes back to who's your daddy. And what I've learned is when you have a proper perspective of your daddy, you can ask real big. Especially when you're asking for other people. And most of my prayers now are not for me. Because my needs are met. Most of my prayers is to help other people. And I ask big. My son always says that. He said, Daddy, I negotiate huge things, huge. Because he said, I live a simple life. So I know the whole purpose of these huge things is to be a blessing. So I have no problem asking in order to help other people. But too many times we shrink down what God can do. Our Father, how big is your daddy? Our Father, what does he own? What's his capacity? What's his capacity? You know, you don't ask for something. You know, if you know your daddy has limited resources, you don't ask for something way out there. But what if you knew your daddy had unlimited resources? Come on. And some of you got to get a revelation of that. So it's our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know his will never be done unless we pray. It won't be. All those kids wouldn't get saved unless someone stood in the gap and it just happened to be me. You know, my family wouldn't have been saved if I didn't stand in the gap and said, Acts 16:31, both me and my household shall be saved. And I refused to be shaken off of that until I saw them serving God. Come on. God's always looking for someone on earth that is really adamant that his will be done on earth. And you know, I believe the reason the will of God is not done on earth as it is in heaven is the church doesn't really want the will of God. How many of you understand what I mean? We want God's will if it doesn't cost us anything. We want God's will if it's easy. We want God's will if it's not inconvenient. But I found out God's will represents love. Love's always inconvenient. Love is always self-sacrificing. Love is always not about us, it's about Him. And it's about others. And you know, I'll show you how this works. I have a church I work with that's exploded. And they're doing great. Wonderful church. And I'll never forget, I went into town, and it's a church, you know, about a year ago, I walked in, and they were doing several services on the weekend, packing the place out. And the pastor told me, he said, we've maxed out. And it was obvious. They had no more place to put cars. They had no more place to put people. And he said, Woody, we just can't. We were too tired to add another service. But they were telling me they wanted revival for years. So I was meeting with the staff, and I said, I want you to go door to door. I want you to knock on the door, and when they answer the door, if they don't go to your church, if you know they're, you know, they don't go to another Bible-believing church, I want you to explain to them why it's okay for them to go to hell. I want you to explain to them why you really don't care if they go to hell or not. Because that's what you're telling me. I said, you told me you wanted a revival. Now you've got it. And you're telling me you can't handle it. Because during harvest, you do whatever you have to do to get the harvest in. By that time, pastor's crying. He said, it means we're going to add another service, doesn't it? I said, yes, sir. We'll add as many as we have to. But you're one of the unusual churches because actually people are drawn. And I said, you can't mess this time up. I don't want this harvest to be passed. Come on, it's harvest time. And I've learned, I said, man, if you really want it, you go for it. The proof of desire is pursuit. You know, like I said, in my son's church, which is in revival, in the middle of Silicon Valley, which you know, a place that probably is the weirdest place to have revival. Because it's the most liberal place in the face of the earth. Many people think it's an anti-God place. But right in the middle, there's a church of the living God that's shining a light in darkness. And all the, you know, you keep constantly hear the words that they keep saying. Their whole mantra is, we're all in, Pastor. We're all in. We're all in. Whatever we will, whatever we need to do, we're all in. You know, they're starting 5 more churches this year. Started 5 churches in the first 5 years of their existence. 5 more churches this year. They're all in. They don't know what can't be done because they want the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'll be honest with you, you start praying and you get the heart of God, you have to go forward. You have to. The things you have to do, you don't have to do everything, but you have to do your thing. Come on. Every one of you has an assignment from God. You hear what I'm saying? And I found out you get your assignment in prayer. And you really keep your assignment going by prayer. Your whole lifeblood is your prayer life. You know, everything else needs to take a back seat. If you ever watched Jesus, it seemed like even though he's doing all those miracles, he was always trying to get alone to pray. Sometimes he did a miracle when he's almost, you can almost feel like he was getting, If it was me, you would have been irritated. What do you mean you want? Hey, stop it. It's my day off. Don't you know I'm seeking God? What do you mean you have a need? You know? So what? Your daughter's dying. You know? I mean, but you always saw Jesus no matter what. And what you found out about Jesus, let me help you again. In Matthew 17, there was a scripture. I read scriptures, and it's almost like I have to read them in like they're written instead of in my own viewpoint. Remember when they saw the demon-possessed, boy, and they brought him to the disciples? For them to cast out the demon, the father was desperate, and the disciples couldn't cast him out. So they brought the boy to Jesus, and Jesus upbraided the disciples. He said, oh, you unbelieving, perverse generation. How long do I have to be with you? He said, just bring him here. And the father brought the boy to him, and one word, he cast out that devil. Now it says, the disciples came to Jesus in private. I've been there in my life where I'm in a public setting and it's not working the way it's supposed to work. And even though while I'm there, I'm pretending like it's okay, but it ain't okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretending like, hey, yeah. I'm almost making excuses because it didn't work. But in my spirit, I'm saying, Lord, we're going to talk about this later. Because there are things I obviously don't understand. And this should have worked. So as soon as the crowd left, the disciples came to Jesus and said, okay, how come we couldn't cast it out? And he said, this time only comes out by prayer and fasting. And that used to go over my head, and I thought, Lord, they prayed. I know they prayed when they tried to cast out that demon. And yet, in some of the transcripts, it didn't even say prayer and fasting. It just said prayer. And I said, how come? And this is what the Lord said. He said the reason they couldn't cast out that demon was not their prayer at that moment. It was their lack of prayer the moments before then. And they weren't current with me. And there's certain demonic activity, if you're not current, you can't take care of. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why Jesus never had to pray. And when people brought him needs, he never said, I got to get alone and pray then. He never did. He performed a miracle at that moment because he always was prayed up. He always was ready. Does this make sense? And I believe, God, that Lord, we ought always to pray and not faint. I believe that we need to begin to say, Lord, teach me to pray to get to the next level. God, I know how to pray to get here. I even know how to pray to maintain where I am. And I'll be honest with you, the place I'm at right now, I got there by prayer. That's why the success I've had started by revelation knowledge. It did. I got here by prayer. And it used to be a God place. But now it's a good place. It's a place where God recently has been. But it's not a place where he is. Because he is calling me higher. And he's calling the church higher. And he says, I'm doing a new thing. How long are you going to stay by a brook that's drying up? How long are you going to be in a place where you're leaning on everything you know and yet I have so much more I want to show you? How long are you going to settle here when I want to teach you to pray for the next level? That's where the breakthrough is. And that's what we're doing around the country. We're teaching our people to see. And seeing begins by opening our eyes, God, to show us the things. you want us to see for this season. And I found out, as long as you're seeing, you're fresh. The moment you stop seeing, you start becoming obsolete. Because vision keeps your prime time. And I found out those that spend time with the Father, He begins to reveal secrets. The secrets of this age. You begin to know the times. You begin to know the seasons. You begin to not only know the acts of God, but the ways of God. You begin to breathe as He breathes, and you begin to walk as He walks. You begin to speak into people's destiny. Come on. You begin to literally bring heaven to earth. You begin to operate like Jesus. He only did what He saw the Father doing. And all I'm trying to do now is what I'm seeing. I know if I can't see it, I can't do it. And I can't even live off of your revelation. You can't live off of mine. Because secondhand revelation doesn't work. God said, I want you to be my witnesses. A witness is someone who sees something firsthand. The church has lost its witness because it's lost its revelation knowledge. Come on. We listen to everybody else, and you need to listen to preachers. But you need to listen to the voice of God. Because many times God will say something to you in a way the preacher didn't say it. Come on. Now the preacher may have brought something out, but God made it pertinent to you right where you are at this moment. And all of a sudden you just know that you 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 know, and all of a sudden it's a kingdom thing. You cannot be shaken off of it. In fact, you can shake the gates of hell with the very thing that you can't be shaken off of. Come on. That's what prayer does. It opens our ears and our eyes. It breaks us through to a different realm. And we actually see it on the mountaintop in prayer. Then we take it to the valley and we build it. Come on. Faith is seeing, saying, and sowing. But starts off by praying. Then God opens your eyes. Whatever you see, you can do. Whatever you see, you can have. Whatever you see is a call to participation. And He said, I'm not going to show you something unless you're willing to speak it. I remember when we had 5 kids, I would have my youth group say that literally, I said, we are the youth group in Tulsa. And people thought we were arrogant. In fact, I had people say, well, you think you are the best. I said, we know we're the best. No, we weren't at the moment. We're calling things that are not yet. I mean, we were. But, you know, by 2 years later, everyone else said we were the best. Because honestly, I got them to a place where they believed it. Where they believed that they could change the world. Where they believed they could change their schools. Where they believed they could change their community. Where they believed that nothing was impossible to God. When they began to believe, come on, that it wasn't even based on their ability, but on God's ability. It was just based on their availability to God's ability. Where they knew that there was something happening in the realm of the Spirit. And I taught them how to hear from God and see for themselves. I think about my youth group. I had a young man in prayer, God spoke to him and showed him. And he said, Woody, I'm going to be a millionaire before I graduate high school. He was a ninth grader. Very industrious man, young man, had a lawn mowing business. Well, he went from having one lawn mowing cutting thing to having 16 people working under him. As a ninth grader, adults were working for him. And next thing I know, he buys an apartment house. His dad co-signs, and it was basically like a tenement. And he tears it all the way up and rebuilds it. So as a 10th grader, he owns an apartment building debt-free, full of tenants. So he buys another apartment building. He had 12 apartment buildings as a senior in high school in Tulsa. And I ran into him. He was a millionaire before he graduated high school. And I ran into him just recently, and he's in his 50s. And he showed me all the skyscrapers he built, especially in Miami. They're all his buildings. I had another guy in there that, you know, we just taught him nothing was impossible. And we didn't teach him yet you had to be a preacher. Just taught him take the lid off. I had another guy in there that was vice president for Ford for years. And they said, you know, we always had God in just a little box. They said, you taught us to get him out. And I'm trying to get everyone, get God out of the box. Because he's not in the box you are. You've actually have decided what box you live in by your faith level in God. And it's time to blow the lid off and start believing God and start praying and start letting God show you. I don't think we need to say anything he's not saying. But we need to say everything he is. You know? When God spoke to my son years ago and said, I've given you a $1 billion brain, I keep saying that because that's a 7-year-old. And he walked around the house. You know, from the moment God told him that every day you could hear, I got a $1 billion brain, I got a $1 billion brain, I got a $1 billion brain. So when he had his first $1 billion idea, which is at age 21, he'd already been there for 14 years. And like I said, now he's dealing with hundreds of billions of dollars. And now he's saying, God, I'm asking. He's telling me, he said, Daddy, I want God to tell me I have a $1 trillion brain. So I start, you know, because billions getting a little boring. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Now, that doesn't have to be a money thing. It can be anything. But what, you know, I have missionaries that, I mean, I have my friend that has the sports mission. God showed it to him. He spoke it for 5 years. Now that 500,000 teenagers are involved in his program in Kenya, and he's a little hick. He was a little hick preacher in the backwoods of Pennsylvania, and now he's changing an entire nation. Because God said, come on. How many of you want your prayer life to go to the next level? Because honestly, your life can't go to the next level if your prayer life doesn't. And we can't make it happen. We have to allow God to work it in us so he can work it out of us. I said, Lord, I'm not trying to change myself. I need you to change me on this. And God, where I've been has been good enough for where I am. But it's not good enough for where I'm going. So God, I need your help. Come on. Because I don't want to stop growing. I don't want to retire. I'm refiring. You know, I'm going to burn my way out of this place. You know, I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I want to make sure I finish my course, and I want to make sure my entire life was poured out where there's nothing left in me. When there's nothing left to give, I'll go home. Come on. But if you want your prayer life to go another area, I want to pray for you tonight. If that's you, come on up real quick. Come on, I want to pray for you. Because I believe we need to say, Lord, teach us to pray. Yes. Teach us to pray. Yes. God, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us, teach us, teach us. Lord, help us to not have figured out everything. Because too many times we're stuck in our own mind. Teach us. Because I believe, God, that He's going to begin to show us revelation, knowledge we've never seen before. He's going to drop things into our spirits. This is a new season. Just lift your hands up. Start thanking God. Thank Jesus that, you know, He ever lives to intercede for you. You know what He's doing right now? He's praying in heaven that you will receive right here, right now, what you need to receive from God. He's praying for you right now that you know, He's praying for your prayer life because there's so much He wants to give you that until you connect, He can't get it to you. This is a new season. And God is just beginning to do it. And this church is birthed in prayer. And it's going to begin to go to the next level in prayer. And there's a fresh anointing on your lives. The Holy Ghost is full. Signs, wonders, miracles you're going to pull down from heaven to earth. Just as Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing. You guys are going to begin to operate in revelation like you never have before. You're going to give birth to my voice in this area. The same spirit on you, I'm going to put on others. So I can teach what I know, but I can impart who I am. And I'm a seer. So everyone that comes around me begins to see. You know, I deal with businessmen, and God's going to bring you guys to the next level. This is your new season. And you might as well just get so excited, it's ridiculous. He's got plans. He's got plans for you. He's going to turn things and begin to move in a fresh way. This is a new day. You might as well get excited about it. Some of you're going to get so thrilled with what God shows you. Some of you are going to get so touched with what God shows you. I remember weeping over the teenagers in Oklahoma. Now I remember the scripture just carrying the seed, weeping, but coming back, holding the sheaves, rejoicing. And 2 years later, when we saw in the two-year period 7,000 teenagers give their heart to God, I said, all the weeping was worth it. Because God's about ready to turn our mourning into dancing. We're about ready to do that little Holy Ghost jig we do. Come on now. Why? Because He's got so much more. And there's a mantle of prayer that will come on us where it will be supernaturally natural because it fits us. You know, each of us do differently. My wife can lock herself in for hours to pray. I tend to pray all throughout the day. You know, sometimes it's like at 5-minute increments, and then that's about as much my attention span can do. You know, but then, but I'm always talking to God, and it just seems like in the weirdest times, He talks to me. Sometimes when I'm talking to Him, He doesn't seem to be saying much, but later on in the day, it's His turn. And that's what he's doing. He's beginning to talk to you. He's beginning to talk to you. And his words are beginning to reshape your destiny in your life. And he said, I've got things to see. You know, servants don't know what their father's doing, but sons and daughters at the table do. And God is just beginning to show you revelation knowledge now. You're no longer stuck, not in the spirit. In the natural, many times we get unstuck in the spirit first, and then the things, the natural, begin to cooperate. This is a new season of power and anointing and the glory of God all over us. And we're going to see those things he's promised come to pass. And you know, we're going to see God turn things. And this is going to be the best season yet. Because you're just going to hear the voice of God. No, that's God. That's God. That's God. That's God. And you're going to be in a place of prayer that's so tender and so sweet. And that's what it's all about. You know, this is a new season. Watch God. Watch him move. See, I've learned as we speak, God moves. He loves his kids. In fact, when we draw near, it seems like he draws near. You know what I'm saying? He jumps in the middle. He says, you know, when his little kids talk to him, it's amazing what takes place when his kids talk to him. You know, I mean, we have the cutest little, I mean, we have 8 in our family, 6 and under now. And you know, all they have to do is say anything to me. Doesn't make a difference what it is. I mean, even if they're not asking me for something, if they start talking to me, they can have anything I got. Come on now. And if they smile at me, they get double anything I got. That's just the way it is. They're just too cute. And that's what God says about you. You're just too cute, Charlie. Yo, we're too cute. Yeah. That's the favor of God. You can get, you just crawl in your daddy's lap. Yes. There are times I go to God, I don't even ask him for anything. I just want to be with him. Yeah. And he just loads me up with benefits. You know, things I didn't even ask for, but he knew I'd like it. Come on. Ah, that's your daddy. That's your daddy. That's your dad. That's your dad. You know you like it. Woo! See, when you delight yourself in him, he gives you the desires of your heart. And he knows. Things that don't mean anything to anybody else mean something to you. Years ago, my wife came up to me because I played pro ball, and I was a huge Willie Mays fan growing up. Even though I grew up in New York and I should have been a Mickey Mantle fan. But my wife said, "Don't you want a Willie Mays baseball card?" He said, "I can get you one." Well, it was $540. It was a rookie card. And I said, "I'm not paying $540 for a baseball card." But I really did want it. And my wife said, "Why don't you pray?" Well, I said, "I'll pray, but you're not going to buy it." Because I knew what she was saying. She's setting me up. I said, "No, you're not buying it for me. You're not going to do it because it means a lot to me, but it doesn't mean that much. It's a card." And I prayed, and that week, I get a parcel in the mail. It's from one of my partners in upstate New York. And he said, "God spoke to me this week." Now, my wife doesn't even know the person, so I know she didn't get it. And he sends me a rookie baseball card signed by Willie Mays. And you know, that card means so much to me, not because of the card itself, but because of what God did to get it to me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, "God, you really do love me. Look, look." Anytime I wonder if he loves me, I can look at the cross and then look at Willie Mays. You know, but I know. See, everything we have is just like one prayer away sometimes. because it's already in our account. And this is a new season of prayer. This is a whole new season of receiving. And this is a new season of learning how-tos. Come on. Because there's a school of the Spirit he's bringing us into right now that the church has not even ever known before. And that glory's all over you. And that anointing's all over you. And all that you've learned is about ready to just explode all over you. In Jesus' name. See, God's not going to waste anything of the old, but he's adding the new on top of it. And he's actually redefining by what he adds on how we flow. And that anointing's all over you for such a time as this. He's renewing everything. He's renewing everything in the spirit, and it begins to renew everything in the natural. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. It's by the Spirit of the living God. And he begins to breathe, and he begins to make life fun again, and he begins. It's payback time. All that we've been through to get to this point, all that we've been through, and we're going to look back and say, man, it was worth it. I'm so glad I didn't quit. I'm so glad I had a chance to, but I'm so glad I didn't. Something's beginning to move and shake right now in your world, and your prayer life is just beginning to explode, and this is a whole different ball game. You're learning how to believe. You're learning how to access. See, you always believe, but now you're learning the how-tos. It's amazing. There it is.
Thank you, Lord.
You go, isn't that so much fun? It's ridiculous. The glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory. And all of a sudden, we're just learning how to pray as we pray out of our heart. As God just begins to show us. Sometimes he'll actually tell me what to pray. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray as I ought to pray. And so that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, but it's also why he actually, sometimes he gives me understanding on something I had no understanding on. And he's about ready to give you keys to unlock doors that have been locked for a long time. And you've pounded and you've done everything else you know. You've tried to worry them open. They didn't work that way. But now it's a new season. And you're going to see a whole different realms opening up by the Spirit of God. And when things are stopped, you're going to learn how to pray, and God's going to download you and give you creative ideas. And sometimes you're going to get the answers at the weirdest times, so you might as well get used to that. There are going to be downloads from heaven to unlock the hearts of people, to begin to see the progress, because God's put things in your heart that he's going to see fulfilled. And you know something? He says it's not just for others. I'm going to begin to fulfill some of your desires. And I'm going to even teach you how to desire. You know, we can get to a part in our life where I had to ask God one time. I said, God, I don't want anything. And he said, well, you know, he said that's good and bad. Because sometimes you don't want anything because you have stopped believing in certain areas. He said, I'm going to begin to reawaken some things. And he said, they're not as important to you as they used to be. But he said, it's kind of like the baseball card. It just shows little things that God cares about you. You know, my wife has, you go to our house and it's like guitar, 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 guitar. That's what our whole house is. You know, everything I buy are guitars. Well, those things mean so much to her. It's the weirdest thing. You know, and she doesn't even play publicly. She just plays privately. But it seems when she holds a guitar, she knows God loves her. And he's just going to give you the desires of your heart. And he's going to teach you. He's going to teach you to pray. At an early age, You can ask your Heavenly Father for anything, and I guarantee you something, little princess. You know, there's nothing He's going to withhold from you. You're going to learn how to work God. I mean that in a good way. But I do mean that in a good way. You're going to learn how to climb up on His lap and say, God, I want to see this done. And watch what He'll do. My son learned at an early age that his father was wild about him. And I, of course, loved him. But he was talking about his Heavenly Father. And, you know, he just learned to ask big at a little age. And he, now that he's not a little age, he's still asking big. He's asking bigger than almost anybody I know. So you dream big, okay? And He's going to teach you. You just talk to God. Talk to God the way and He'll talk back. You'll hear things, or you'll get impressions, or He'll give you little dreams and visions, or, you know, good dreams, you know. My son used to see himself as a superhero. He said, I'm a superhero. I'm paymaster. I see, even that, he had it right, because he was prophesying. That's what he is, a paymaster in the body of Christ. And he saw himself as, here comes a paymaster. You know? So, you know, you little princess, watch out. You're going to do it. Because God has dreams. He has visions. And, you know, all we have to do is get real with God. Because we're still His little kid. No matter how old we get, we're still the little guy on Daddy's lap. And He's just going to begin to download things from heaven and show you things to come. And there's good desires He's put in your heart that He wants to bring to pass. And He's going to use you for His glory. Your prayers avail much. When we stop trying to impress God and just be His kid, watch out. You know, because religion's boring, but this isn't. There's a fresh mantle that's going to fall on you. And this is a new season. And God's, your Father's going to become more real than anything else. And He's going to be more real in the family than any time. It's almost like you'll see the goodness of the Father everywhere about. You're going to see this is a whole new season. And the entrance of His Word brings light. And God's restoring things that, you know, He's actually bringing things to a whole different level of glory. So you might as well get excited. This is your season. Our simple prayers avail much. You know, I found some of the prayers that I've done. I watched Oral and Healing Line. I was waiting for, take down years ago, how he would pray. And in that particular line, he just said, heal, 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 heal. I said, heal, heal, heal. No. But it worked. He wasn't praying long prayers, but he was connecting. I don't care what it is, but you're about ready to connect to the Father like you never have before. Because God's so wild about you, girl. You have such a tender heart. When you're connected. And he's connecting you fresh again. And this is a new season of just connection with God. And He's downloading things and He's giving you grace. And all of a sudden, life is becoming fresh again. And I release that now in Jesus' name. Just His presence sets you ablaze with the glory of God. Hanging with the Father. Hanging with the Father, that's all. When you walk with God, you change everyone around you. And when you walk with God, you constantly are changed. It's our season. Did you guys get something tonight? Did I miss? I missed a guy, especially since you're going to work tomorrow. We prayed about that, and it boy, that was quick. I like that. Father, I just thank You for my brother right now. I thank You, God. I thank You for strength. I thank You for anointing. And I just thank You for the favor on his life. God, this is a new season where doors open and dreams and desires begin to come to pass. This is a season where things that were stolen in the past are restored. And we thank you for it. And you're going to begin. I mean, God's going to talk to you. Even on the job, he'll just talk to you. I mean, you know, there's nothing like working outdoors for God to show you stuff. Jesus was constantly saying, look at that tree. You see the flowers in the field? You're about ready to, you know, he's about ready to do some talking. Hallelujah. Seed time and harvest. Woo! There's the good stuff right there. Right there. I release that now. This is your season. And there goes the little champion. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for that gift right there. The Lord, he learns to pray at an early age. And he's so much fun all the days of his life. Lord, give him an incredible sense of humor. In Jesus' name, amen.